Welcome to Celtic Stuff Live on the CLNS Media Network, the leading online provider of audio and video coverage for the Boston Celtics. John and Justin here. We're going to have a show that is yet, 3 weeks away from training camp? I guess less. It's the 30th, so it's less, yeah. Like 2.5 weeks.
Yeah.
Thank goodness.
No doubt.
By the way, for whoever, I can't remember who runs the basketball fantasy league that I do every year, but I know they're fans of Celtic Stuff Live. Everybody's asking me when the fantasy draft is going to be again, but I have no idea. I don't run the league, and I'm in if you guys are in. So just let me know. I'll do it. 2.5 weeks, bro. Finally, we get to see this roster still wheeling and dealing since our last call. Juancho. I gotta tell you, I've always liked the Hernan Gomez boys. Not necessarily like I think this is the big needle mover, but the one thing that you said was the roster's not balanced. They need a power forward who can stretch it a little bit, who can switch, and situationally off the bench behind Jason Tatum, you got your man. And I do think this roster construction is about as balanced as we've seen in years, honestly. When you look at just the guards to the wings, to the forwards, with a couple of centers, you got players that do different things that other players don't. So, you know, they're going to have lots of tricks in their bag that way. We're not relying on Grant Williams, but maybe he's a better player than they're giving him credit for, and we'll certainly find out because they'll be able to put him with a better mix, a better blend. And in the end, I think, you know, that might smooth out a lot of the bumps. He's already got 2 all-stars. You know, you've got some major free agent pickups. So I was happy about it. I didn't really see a slot for Chris Dunn, and you know what I think about Carson Edwards. Nice guy, rips it up in the summer league. Maybe a couple of inspirational performances here and there, you know, when the team is down, but there was a log jam. There was a log jam at guard. And now this roster, I would say, is pretty fully constructed and certainly not any worse than last year.
I mean, I think, I don't know if their top end is as high as last year's team could have been, but
because of Kemba?
Kemba's right. But that's assuming a healthy Kemba. And even then, I'm not even sure that's the case, right? I mean, I think there's a fair case to be made that they're better because they're better rounded as a roster, you know, from 1 to 15. I think they're better. They have more players you can count on, more players you know going into it, exactly what they're going to provide. And that, you're right. It, you know, Juancho, allows you to do a lot of things, that you couldn't do last year. And you know, he allows you to go arguably a little smaller and have a 6'9" power forward whose calling card should be to shoot the ball pretty well. As a for instance though, his first year in the league, he shot 40% from 3. His second year in the league, he shot 28%. His third year, he shot 36%. The year before that, he shot 34%, and then last year he shot 32%. So what that means, you got me, but I mean, it shows that he can shoot the ball well. You know, I don't know why it hasn't been consistent or what's happened there, but in any event, I mean, starring in an Adam Sandler movie, which is pretty cool, I guess. But apart from that, I really don't know what to expect other than the idea of what he should be able to provide. And arguably, I think that in the best of all worlds, we're all hoping that he's playing very little and Grant Williams has established himself as the team's preeminent power forward. But you know, I don't have a whole lot of faith in that. I think what's nice about him, about Juancho, is that, you know, I don't think he's far and away has beaten out Grant Williams or Jabari Parker. I think it's an open competition, and that's what's kind of exciting about this training camp coming up here in a few weeks. There's a lot of spots still open to be debated. While there's some veterans there, and I think we can rely on those guys, it's an option that Brad Stevens didn't have the last 2 years, but especially last year. But there's going to be a lot of debate, a lot of argue, a lot of battles, I think, going on, you know, but with all these rookies and second year and third year guys, they're all going to be having, you know, a battle for minutes, and they have a potential to kick some of these veterans we think will do a lot more a little bit further down the rotation. But I'm glad that with Wancho and Schroeder and, you know, Richardson and, you know, you have an opportunity now for, you know, and Horford, you know, these rookies are young players aren't being forced to be put in those positions. They can apprentice when they're not showing themselves to be what their potential is. And then they can also step up and take those spots, perhaps when they're ready for that opportunity.
Yeah. Again, more competition with guys that aren't, I mean, none of them are going to separate themselves necessarily, right? Somebody's probably going to get the bulk of the minutes, but nobody's going to be like, oh, this is the guy that has totally separated himself above the rest of the pack. And maybe that happens, maybe, but it's pretty unlikely. You know, Jabari Parker would have to all of a sudden resemble the first round pick level, that he was, or the first, you know, can't even say lottery pick. Like, he's kind of picked high. So, you know, but that kind of potential, and sure, maybe then he would, you know, Grant Williams winds up being that defensive statistical stalwart that he was against Toronto, and that some of the advanced analytics that everybody's been sharing the last couple of weeks might say that he could be. The truth is players at this level are going to have ups and downs with the kinds of careers that they've had to date. And the great thing is that they're going to be able to just try their hand at whichever one is fitting the lineup or having the right level of confidence, doing what they need to be doing. And, you know, even when they get into training camp, it's not the, Jabari is probably the only one that might get cut, maybe. And I'm not sure anybody gets cut at this point. I think they like having that salary because I still think they want to make a trade move without giving up a Marcus Smart, a Jason Tatum, or a Jaylen Brown. And so I don't see them shedding the salary. They seem to be right on point with where they wanted to be, you know, related to the cap.
Yeah, no, I think you're right. I think everything's around very much around the edges at this point, which is, you know, partly why you wouldn't perhaps spend more draft capital to go out there and get somebody better than Juan Hernan Gomez. But okay, I think this is the exact type of move you make. Somebody who's done something in the league, but you're not going to get a whole lot for someone when they're not, you know, a name. You're not going to give up, you know, the draft capital it took to say, go out and get a Larry Nance Jr. like Portland did. You know, you're going to have to do some things that are probably more around the edges and really, you know, you really didn't have to give up much at all, to shed, Chris Dunn and Carson Edwards and, you know, swap a second round pick, you know, I think 2026. You know, you've got that. And then, you know, they did sign a couple training camp guys. Luke Kornet's coming back on the Exhibit 10 deal, which sounds like he'll be playing in Maine. Which is kind of like what they've done recently with a number of guys, Chris Babb and a few others. They'd signed these deals, which basically says, yeah, you're probably not going to make the roster and we'll send you right to Maine. So that's kind of,
but
cool.
Somebody like Kornet substantiates trade rumor potential that they're trying to package salaries. Yeah, guy who was on the roster last year, mm-hmm. 7-footer. They like the fact that he could defend the pick and roll. If they make a trade where they package all of these salaries to go get another high level player, mm-hmm. they're going to need depth rotation guys.
Oh, sure. Yeah.
And,
okay.
And so, you know, somebody like Kornet who came in last year and they liked him better than Mo Wagner in terms of depth and potential. You got to think that he probably, I'm not saying definitely, but he probably could have gotten an invite that wasn't an Exhibit 10 to a camp somewhere. I mean, he was right on the line.
But I don't know. I don't know. I don't know. I don't know if there were many options for him, but you're right. Possibly, you know,
but it makes sense for them to try to get somebody like that back where they feel like they can trust him. He's already gotten some experience in, you know, the system, which it's going to change a little bit, obviously, got a new coach.
Sure.
But then keeping him in that system, they liked enough of what they saw. I think that they're definitely, you know, considerate of where can we stash some depth where we would be able to bring them in end of the bench. So who's the other floater guy?
Oh, Juwan Morgan.
Well, but he's not definitely floating between Maine. Who was the first guy that they put on a, on the two way? Don't they have one other, don't they have a player on a two way?
Oh, Hauser. Yeah.
Right. They got Sam Hauser on a two way. So.
Right. So he's definitely, I mean, he's definitely gonna be playing in Maine. That's a certainty.
Right.
And so that, you know, that's, we'll see what happens with him. I mean, he's certainly shot the lights out pretty well there at towards the end of summer league. And I think, you know, that he's going to get a lot of minutes. You know, he's going to see most of his minutes in Maine. Certainly. But you know, it sounds like, you know, you send Cornette to Maine. And you know, Bobby Manning mentioned this in his post on Celtics blog, but, you know, he interviewed, Cornette's sister and Nicole, and she was saying, you know, basically how that, you know, his dad kind of regretted not pushing harder to stay in the league. And I feel like this is kind of like that move, like you could have gone overseas and could have made more money, but it put him a little bit further away from being able to realize getting back in the NBA. And it sounds like, you know, when you're in a situation like this, and of course, when his dad played, they didn't have a G League or a D League. But now, you know, you look at this, you know, where you're at now, it's probably a good spot, because you're right. If there is a consolidating trade that's made, he's ready to step right in and fill in as a, you know, as a veteran minimum guy. And that seems like a pretty good move for somebody like that. And we have to move, you know, 90 minutes down the highway. That's pretty sweet, I'd say.
And when you make a consolidation trade too, what's the other thing you need? Shooting. Cause you know, you're not going to go out and get a ball handler. You need somebody who can spot up in the corner while the other guys are garnering all that attention, you know, and Cornette can shoot from the outside. So he gives him a little bit of that. And then you have Hauser, who is, you know, 3-point specialist, right? So there's somebody else that you can just trust to be in the corner, ready for the kick out and knock down the open shot, because the defenses are paying attention to three, potentially four other guys on the floor that are going to do some serious damage. So I think there are signs here. I'm not saying that they definitely have a trade in the works. I'm just saying seems like they're building with that in mind for sure in a lot of ways.
I'm a little more dubious that anything really is going to happen this year, that they're building towards it. But I think that I think it's solid team building stuff. And it kind of backs up what we've seen over the last 2 years of what it takes effectively to build a strong team. And you look at Milwaukee, you know, a lot of the guys there's a lot of one dimensional players on that Milwaukee Bucks team last year. And, you know, the one skill they seemed to have was shooting. They were either defenders or they were shooters. And, I think that's a good, piece to recall, in that, you know, you can never have enough of that. And I think they, unfortunately, in the middle tier of this bench, of this rotation, they don't have a lot of it. So you might as well add what you can on the periphery. And who knows, you may strike gold as Miami did with Duncan Robinson. Maybe Sam Hauser is the next Duncan Robinson. That would be pretty nice. That would be a nice find for the Celtics.
Yeah. 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 For sure. All right, so there'll be plenty to talk about, because we're going to have to dive into roster construction and everything else for several weeks of training camp, because we're many weeks away from the opening night of the season. So media day, 2.5 weeks away, then we get some training camp, then we get a week of what the hell do we talk about? Please, will opening night come on, come on, come on, and then we're in it. So in the meantime, lots of things going for former Celtics, loving Paul Pierce, and no apologies for getting fired from ESPN coming from that man. And then the Photoshop of Kevin Garnett put of Rondo,
well,
and Pierce and him taking Ray out of the picture and his misaligned tan suit. Come on, Ray, what were you thinking? Like, you didn't want to be the outsider. You're the only guy who wore the tan suit. You literally, even he's standing outside of the three of them in the picture. It was easy to crop him out. It's hilarious. So anyway, love to pour gas on that one as much as I can. But
well, It just, since you went there, I mean, Gary Washburn wrote about this, about how it's time for Garnett basically to give it up, you know, his
I thought you'd bite on that. That's where I wanted you to take it. I saw you posting about it. So I was hoping you would take the bait.
He's got to get, like, why is this Kevin Garnett's problem? I'm sorry. I mean, I get that that's where kind of the posse of that team is around and it's, you know, Garnett needs to.
It's like,
you know,
the oldest sibling always gets blamed for everything.
Yeah.
Whoever's the strongest and the old, you know, not saying he's the oldest, but it's the same concept. You know, I was the oldest child, so everything's my fault. And that's just the way it goes. He's the strongest, most charismatic of that group. And so he gets blamed and that's what it is.
But. You know what? Like, how about this? How about we go out there and we actually decide to, I don't know, how about both guys have to earn some of this? I mean, why do we have to always, every time I read this, it's about, well, it's KG's got to do this. How about Ray? Like, why is everyone always letting Ray Allen off the hook on this one? He is just as stubborn and as pigheaded about this as any, you know, as Kevin is.
As anybody.
It's just he doesn't act as outwardly like that. And he picks up, and whenever someone wants a quote, he answers. Right. That's the problem. It annoys me to no end because it's, I get it. And I agree. It should be over. They should find a way to work towards it, but it takes two sides. Why are we?
I don't think it has to be over. I love it.
Well,
I love it.
I want to see this. I want to see them all together. I do want to see that. I want to see it end. I want to see them put bygones be bygones. But there's no way in hell that should happen without Ray Allen accepting some level of responsibility. And he won't do it.
You mean
and
like
he won't accept any of it.
You mean like the part where he didn't return anybody's phone calls and went to the enemy right after they lost to him?
Right?
Like, come on.
Right?
That's why I love it, dude.
Like,
I love
it. Just
freaking
accept responsibility. It's like when you got a 5-year-old.
I've already edited him out of all of my championship memories.
Like KG, you cropped him out.
Yeah.
Just
like
took him out of it.
He's been cropped out of my memories of all of that. Like, I remember Brian Scalabrine more than I remember Ray Allen.
Well, you know, he had that famous, right. Yeah, exactly.
Now, PJ Brown, I remember him more than I remember Ray Allen.
Jesus.
Leon Powell, I remember more
Leon
than Ray
Powell.
Allen.
But look, no, seriously, I mean, it is time to be over. I think it'd be great to be able to put it bygones be bygones. We need the people who are writing about this to put some responsibility on Ray, and nobody will
That'll never happen.
Nobody will do it. They want to say, well, we're fans and we're bitter and all that. Yeah, I'm bitter. And you know, you can hear that in what we're talking about here, but bottom line is
not a fan. KG's not a fan and he's
No. But I'm saying are on the outside of it.
I get what you're saying 100%. I follow you. I'm just saying it's not up to us. Even though the fans don't want it, KG didn't shut him out because the fans are bitter.
No.
That's what I'm saying. It's got nothing to do with the fans. Anybody
but I think
goes,
KG would,
you got, like, it's got nothing to do with us.
As Paul said, I think he, in the article that Chris Mantz wrote about the profile about his entering the Hall of Fame, you know, he thinks that KG softening. Rondo, on the other hand, not so much. But if KG goes, Rondo will follow. I am 100% convinced of that. Although
you know
there's
what'd be
plenty
awesome?
Of rumors about that.
You know
too.
What would be awesome? What would be awesome is what? If they go to this party and then Avery Bradley like shuttles himself into the Rondo, Paul, and KG.
So
wouldn't
petty.
That be great? Oh,
so petty.
I'm Avery Bradley. I got Ray's spot. He can wear a tan suit. Wore a tan suit, that would be even better. And then they crop him in. You know, his shoulders get close. They're all tight. There's Avery Bradley rocking it.
Oh, my gosh.
That would be so awesome, dude. Hey, 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 goodbye, Ray.
All right. Well, let's talk about Paul Pierce. We're not giving due respect to the truth.
It's that time of the year again, and all eyes are now turning to football as teams are back on the gridiron to start the football season. As a matter of fact, Tampa Bay is playing Dallas as we speak and record this. As always, BetOnline is your number one spot for all the pro and college football action this season. So get all your updated odds, props, and contests, including online's biggest $500,000 NFL mega. contest. And the world's largest 200,000 NFL Survivor contest open now at BetOnline. Head to the website or use your mobile device to sign up today and receive your 100%. That's right, not 50%, 100% welcome bonus. Be sure to take advantage of their opening day super promo. Make a bet on Thursday's September 9th season opener. That was yesterday, if you're listening to this, between the Super Bowl champion Buccaneers and the Dallas Cowboys. But if you lose, your wager will be refunded. So for all of you who participated, congratulations. But there's up to $25 for new customers only when signing up using the promo code. And it's not 50 anymore, baby. It's 100. The promo code NFL100, NFL100 to receive your 100% welcome bonus. Bet on the Pats since you can't bet on the Bucks.
We're out there. We're keeping it 100 over here is what we're doing. We're not even keeping it 50 anymore. We're keeping it NFL 100 at this point. Anyway, Paul Pierce, man, the truth, the Hall of Famer,
the
big week, big week for the Celtics, big week for the Celtics. Paul Pierce going in, Bill Russell going in a second time, Mike Gorman going into the Hall of Fame. Big week for the Boston Celtics.
Yeah.
Big freaking week, man. Big week.
Dude, big guy. It's awesome. It's awesome.
It is.
The only thing that would make it a little bit more awesome is if Pierce did finish his career. I'm glad things went the way they did because we got some pretty good players around here now. But don't tell me you don't wish that Paul played every single season in green because I know you did.
No, I do. I do. I do wish that, but I also know that if we didn't have, if that trade doesn't happen, we don't have Jason Tatum and Jaylen Brown and.
It's easy. Not to be sour about it. Absolutely. It was the right thing to do, but boy, it would, I mean, sentimentality wise, this would be so much sweeter if he never played, especially if he never played for the Nets. Let alone Washington, but
the Nets were a nothing team though, like before, until like the last 12 months.
Yeah. He didn't come back to bite us. He didn't come back to bite us like Ray did. See how I did that?
Oh my gosh. I don't think that Paul, Paul's absence, we were down and out of it. Whatever happened in Brooklyn was kind of inconsequential. The stuff in Washington that he did, it was good for what it was. But we were out of it. He was doing something else somewhere. It kind of gave you a rooting interest while the Celtics were so bad in that interim period in 13 and 14 and 15. And then obviously we came back up pretty quickly. I mean, think about it this way. If you don't do that and Paul finishes his career here, you don't have those Nets picks. KG, let's say KG finishes his career here too. You're probably hitting bottom last year, 2 years ago, 18, 19, 20, somewhere in there.
Yeah.
Maybe you got a shot at Luka. I don't know, but, we're 8 years past that trade now, right? We're 8 years past that trade and we are, I don't know that we're like knocking on the door of championship.
Yeah, but we're on the rise.
We're heavy on the rise. Can you imagine not being starting that run now? Being that much further away. That's tougher. There's a lot that we've talked about how great it is to have young players and follow the rise of those players, but like to have a couple, three more years of Paul and KG declining.
That would have been tough to watch.
It
would have been sad. Yeah. Speaking of which, this whole rumor about Paul Pierce getting traded and Cuban confirming it. And the thing is this, I believe that conversation happened. I just think that conversation likely happened the same year the Nets trade happened after Danny had a if they had told me it was before 2008 and then I'm thinking the Chris Paul kind of a thing, a three-way deal and whatever. Okay. Maybe. Who knows, but it wasn't. They said it's after 2008. So then I'm like, yeah, that's the conversation of we're breaking this band up. and we're going to spin them all off. It was, I guarantee you, Danny spoke to them and said, we're going to make a move. And that's when Paul had the conversation, because there's no way that Paul had that conversation with Cuban and the team got that close while they still planned on having KG and Rondo and Paul all on the same team. There's no way it happened in that timeline. That was a Nets year conversation. And so Paul was probably, you know, almost a Maverick, just the same as he was a Net.
Yeah. And I remember there were a lot of like rumors about around that time, 06, 07, I'm saying, about Paul trades and, you know, what's happening and who's going where. And I think Cuban's got his times mixed up, because I don't think it makes sense. I don't know why the Celtics would have traded him. I mean, he wasn't on the downside. It didn't seem like he was not fitting in, that there was a cultural issue. It feel like, I mean, Paul was probably at the zenith of his powers after the 2008 season. And maybe that's why you gauge, you know, Paul just, or Danny just gauging the market like he did with everybody all the time. But I that just doesn't make sense.
Now this whole conversation, and Paul started it, was that there was a three-way deal and it almost got done because the third team fell out. Or opted out because of a pick, which is makes you think it wasn't really that good of a deal if a pick wound up taking him out of it. But I guess it depends on what the third team was getting back in return.
Well, it was the pick was going to Boston. That was what caused them to opt out of it. And why would
it matter? So they wouldn't have cared if it went to the Mavs. They just didn't. Right. Well, then it's a division rival.
You would think Eastern Conference, somebody, or at least Eastern Conference. It could have been somebody, you know, if you think about who the teams that would have mattered, Orlando, not so much at that point. You're probably, you know, you're looking at, you know, Detroit, Cleveland. I mean, those Atlanta, that was kind of the core of the East at that point. Nobody really would have cared. I don't really see that there was a trade there that made sense. And frankly, the stuff with Ray started to fall apart in that season and the next season. So the timeline doesn't really match up with everything we know about the 2018 and everything we know about Danny. So I'm just going to excuse it as, you know, Cuban being Cuban, but you know,
I think Paul set this shitstorm off. So I'm having a hard time just laying one detail at Cuban's feet. I don't even.
What do you mean? What do you mean by that?
Well, Paul is the one that said that he almost got traded, and then Cuban responded to that.
Yeah, but I don't think Paul was indicating it was 2008. Cuban was like, oh,
he
well,
just said no. So here's where I think the reporting got loose on that. He didn't say it was 2008. He said it was after 2008. That doesn't mean right after the 2008 season. That's why I'm predicating it on that was when Danny went to these players and said, we got to start over. We did what we could do. Mm-hmm. I'm trying to place you guys with winners. That's when Paul had the conversation with Cuban in my mind.
Yeah.
That makes sense.
That I get.
And it would explain why they'd be pissed that Boston's getting a pick. Right. Because that's what Boston was looking for, was all these rebuilding picks. Right. Who knows? The third team could have been Brooklyn. We don't even know that originally they weren't all going different directions. And then Brooklyn said, you know what? We want them. Give them all to us. We'll give you every pick, you know, but so I doubt it.
How far down that road do you think they went? How far down from 2008 could that conversation have happened?
I think it was, that's what I'm saying. I think it 2012 after that season. I mean, I don't think that conversation happened related to Paul.
Yeah.
Until they knew that KG wasn't going to get it done, you know, and I think even in Danny's mind, he was going to build that roster around Rondo and then, you know, because they had the picks coming and everything else, but I think it became really clear that they weren't going to be able to build around Rondo anymore either.
Yeah. So I just went back and kind of looked at some of the rosters that Dallas had, like who would be a fit? How would you have made that move? Caron Butler was always a guy who was, you know, Pierce-like, not as talented, not as good.
Younger.
But some, younger. Right. Exactly. And you know, the year after 2010, the Mavs won the championship. And remember after 2010, after that finals, there was a lot of feeling like this is it. It's over. You know, not, you know, this whole thing's going to blow up. You know, everyone's going to go their own ways. Like there was, remember that? Like it was like,
yeah, but Pierce's quote was, "I'm your missing piece for Dirk." So I doubt it was 09. I don't feel,
but Pierce was quoted as part of the Mannix story. The Cuban was asked independently, not by Mannix.
Yeah, but let me tie that. Yeah, but let me tie this together. I do know that. Yeah. But my point is, so if it was before the championship, then you're really talking 09, which was way too early, right? Mm-hmm. They had the one bad season with KG. They're going to rehab him. Why would Boston do that? Clearly not ready.
Right.
It's more likely it was 12 because then you have one season removed from a championship and Cuban wants to be a winner and he wants one more. So he's like, and so Pierce goes to Cuban and says, "I'm your missing piece," right? That one last, because he's, mm-hmm. he knows it's over in Boston. Danny made it clear to the players before he started shopping. Remember, Danny handled that really well. Like there were lots of stories, not that they wanted to leave, not that they were happy about getting traded and breaking up, you know, the big three in Boston. Well, with Rondo being the number three, it wasn't like the players wanted that, but Danny approached them and said, "The time has come." Right. You're not going to be able to win it here. We're cash strapped, everything else. You know, even the best thing for you guys is to move on. That doesn't mean that Danny's only dance partners in all those trades was a situation like Brooklyn where they were going to keep KG mm-hmm. and Paul together with the salaries that they had. As a matter of fact, Brooklyn might have been the only option for them. Right. In terms of salary cap space and everything else and then assets and picks. So it's quite likely that when Danny started the process, he was planning on shipping KG and Paul in different directions. And it would make a lot of sense for Paul Pierce to try to control his destiny, reach out and make a case for landing in a spot with a team that was only 1 year removed from a championship. And "I'm your missing piece. Let's run it back with Dirk one more time before it's over, man. I'm your boy. We'll go out there. We'll get it done. You got some young guys coming up on the team. We can do this." Like that's the only time I've thought about this a ton. It's the only context that makes any sense to me for Pierce to do anything proactively as well.
Yeah. I mean, I think that's fair. I think that you're right. I just think you wouldn't say 2008 unless it was somewhat close to
that. No, he said after 2000.
I know, but like 4 years.
It's just after the championship. Yeah. Well, yeah, I mean, sure.
That's like saying last year. Well, that's after the championship
because here's,
too.
No, it is.
4 years is a long time.
No. 2008. Yeah. Listen, 2008 is the line in the sand on where the Celtics were at. Everything before 2008 was rebuild. It would have made sense.
Yep.
It would have made sense for them to want to trade Paul. As a matter of fact, they almost traded Paul for Paul before that.
Right.
Those rumors have been substantiated and everything else. And so it makes sense that Cuban wouldn't nail down the year and would just put it in context of, yes, this is after the championship when these guys are together, not something we explored, you know, in the middle of Dirk's, you know, heart of his, you know, career and everything else before the Celtics made their moves, you know, because 2008's the line in the sand. Everything before 2008 rebuilt.
I agree with that. No, and I think that's the point of the story is that, you know, Paul was talking about really before they got KG and why it is his willingness to go elsewhere before that. That was the context of the story. And I think, you know, Paul, you know, Cuban's response of saying, no, it's after. You know, that makes sense to say, oh no, it's after that.